Good morning. Welcome to worship. Thank you for Matt Smith coming again to preach for us today. Matt is a student at Lutheran Brethren Seminary, and he and his family are preparing for missionary service in Chad. And so, welcome back. Glad to have you. A few announcements. Clocks change next week, so please note that. Spring ahead, move your clocks forward, and keep that in mind when you're figuring out when it's time to come to church. There'll be coffee after the service today, and the donation basket, any donations will be designated for camp scholarships. We like to encourage people go to Inspiration Point, kids and adults. This one is a scholarship. We do try to help families that send their kids and subsidize a portion of that and of the camp costs. So if you want to donate to that, you have the opportunity to do so after worship today. We do have Holy Communion today, and direct your attention to the insert that's in your bulletin that explains what Holy Communion is and how we practice it here at Stavanger. And if you are find yourself in agreement with our belief and practice, you are most welcome to join at the Lord's table at that point of the service. I wanted to make mention of the result of Giving Hearts Day for Lutheran Brethren Seminary. There was a goal of raising $200,000 for the Ministry of Lutheran Brethren Seminary, and received a card from David Viem, the president, and Brad Pribunow, the dean of Lutheran Brethren Seminary. They have received, to date of this card, $230,734, with another $29,900 that's been verbally committed. So, praise the Lord for his faithfulness, and thank you, Stavanger, for being a part of that. We helped contribute to that, so that's great news. And also had a word from Inspiration Point Camp that they had a very good response on Giving Hearts Day as well. So thank you for those gifts that you have given. Please make note of the upcoming events this week. We have Stavanger Outreach Meeting tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at Faye Baylor's place. And church board meets tomorrow evening here, 7 p.m. And coming up on March 19th is the Stavanger Leadership Retreat. We have 20 signed up in our group to go, so thank you for all your responses. And if you have signed up for the retreat and have not yet paid, you can give your payment to Sharon Strauss. There's Sharon. She'll be happy to receive that. It's $30, and you can make the check to Stavanger if you're paying by check. For those of you who are signed up, I plan to give some more information to you before the 19th, driving directions and that kind of thing. So be watching for that. Also, our midweek Lent and Bible study series, we're looking at Lent from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We had our first service this past Wednesday. And we'll plan to continue meeting here in person with Light Supper and Bible study following at 6 and 6:30 respectively each Wednesday. So you're invited and encouraged to come. And family bowling's coming up later in the month, March 26th, so keep your eyes open for that. And one more thing. Coming up, starting on April 2nd through May 1, is the Muslim festival of Ramadan, a month where they fast and pray. But Christians have seen this as an opportunity to specifically pray for Muslims to come to know Jesus. And there's a great prayer guide. We've provided this in the past, and they're available now as you leave back by the table there. And it just has a different prayer focus for each day during the month of Ramadan. And so I encourage you, maybe one per household to have and use for family devotional time to pray together, that God would continue to move, calling Muslims to faith in Jesus. So, those are the announcements I have. Are there any others that should be made? Okay. That being the case, then, let us proceed to beginning our worship service. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 91. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for calling us here to worship, for calling us to be in fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for the salvation he brought, that we could be called your people. May we, Lord, praise you from our hearts. And thanksgiving for what you have done for us, and for who you are, and for how you are our God who saves. Bless this time of worship and all who have gathered here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able to worship the Lord in song, "How Great Thou Art."
I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Christ, that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross must my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Congregation may be seated. Scripture reading for this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Are there any additional prayer concerns you'd like to bring before the Lord together today?
I have a faith.
Yes,
faith. My daughter is home and doing well. She had a big aneurysm. And we are just praying the Lord because she's coming through it without any side effects so far.
Yes, thank you for that good update. Others? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy to us, new every morning. And Lord, we thank you for this report of good news for Faye's granddaughter, Lord, following her aneurysm, and we thank you, Lord, for the recovery and the good progress that you have granted her. May it continue, Lord. We pray for others in our fellowship, Lord, who are struggling with ongoing illness, with pain, with injury, with any number of afflictions, Lord, be they physical or emotional, relational. Lord, for each one, may you grant the grace needed, the strength, the hope, the relief, the provision. Lord, that we may together give you thanks for how you come to us, Lord, and give good things to your children who ask. Help us, Lord, to walk in faith when we do not see the things that we are asking for, trusting, Lord, in your wise bestowment. Lord, we do also pray for a world that is hurting, with so much, Lord, division, even in our own country, our own communities, our own families. Lord, we see economic hardship as well. We see, Lord, war and destruction, especially now in Ukraine. We pray, Lord, for the people there. Lord, for the many who are fleeing, that you would provide for them. For those who are staying, Lord, that you would provide and protect them. Lord, we pray that those in positions of power would be able to find a way, Lord, to bring this to a just and quick and peaceful resolution. Lord, these things are beyond our ability, but not yours. So we do, Lord, place these things in your hands, and Lord, also ask that you would help us do what we can to show your love in tangible ways. Lord, for this and for the ongoing work of your church around the world, proclaiming your name to the nations, we pray for our missionaries. We pray for the Hoshes and others, Lord, whom you have called and sent. Encourage them, protect them, provide for them, and bear fruit through them, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom, that others might come to know you and be saved. These things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. It's nice to be here again with you all. So thank you, Pastor John, for the introduction. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Matt Smith with Lutheran Brethren International Missions, student here at Lutheran Brethren Seminary currently, and planning on graduating with a certificate in theological study here at the end of this semester. And then we will head from here to Chad, Lord willing. So, let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, we come before you in humble awe. You are the one true God, and there is none other like you. Come, we pray, and bless our hearts and minds as we hear your word. Send your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we may grow in love and grace, and that we may go forward into all the world, proclaiming your gospel so that others may learn of your saving grace. Amen. Paul wrote his letter that we know as the book of Romans while he was in Corinth on his third missionary journey around 57 AD. In it, Paul presents his basic statement of the gospel, God's plan of salvation for all peoples, Jew and Gentile alike. Please rise with me for the reading of our scripture. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture states, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Please be seated. It was late in the year of 1829. George Wilson, a postal clerk, along with James Porter, decided to rob not one, but two different mail carriers originating out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Both men were subsequently captured and tried in the court of law. During their trial on May 1st of 1830, they were charged with six indictments, of which included robbery of the mail and putting the life of the driver in jeopardy. The verdict for both men was guilty. On the 27th of May, 1830, they received their sentences, execution by hanging, to be conducted on the July 2nd of that same year. Porter's execution was carried out, but Wilson's was not. Shortly before this set date, a number of Wilson's influential friends pleaded for mercy to the President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, on behalf of their friend George Wilson. On the 14th of June, 1830, President Jackson issued a presidential pardon for Wilson, which would have resulted in his death sentence being dropped. Astonishingly, Wilson refused President Jackson's pardon. I think it's pretty safe to say that we all know right from wrong, and that what these two men had done was wrong and deserving of a punishment. Maybe not the death penalty, but for certain some form of punishment. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis, death and sin has been present in our world, which we cannot escape on our own. We see evidence of this from that point forward. From the shame that was felt and the sinfulness that was passed down from generation to generation, as it is to this day and will be until Christ's return. Our own shame was never enough to keep us from our evil ways. So as a further guide, Moses was given the law, including the Ten Commandments, by God himself. These have been impossible for us to keep. So God provided a way for his people to atone for their sins through sacrifice, just as God himself did for Adam and Eve there in the garden. For that very first sin, he had an animal to cover their shame. This continual sacrifice of shedding of blood as an atonement for sins was a never-ending process, as we see written throughout Old Testament Scripture. But God had a greater plan, the plan of an ultimate sacrifice that would once and for all atone for the sins of the entire human race for all time. As we just read, to receive this salvation, we must accept Jesus as Lord. Verse 8 from our text reads, "The world is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Here, Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 30:14. "The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it." This can be a bit confusing, because in Deuteronomy, Moses was encouraging the Israelites to obey the law that he had been given. And here, Paul is stating that the new covenant offer of righteousness is now that word that is near to the people. And this word is accessible and available to all who respond in faith. This message concerning faith was that message that Paul and the apostles were preaching. In verse 9, Paul goes on to summarize the gospel in these words: "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." His statement, "Jesus is Lord," could be considered the earliest and simplest of all Christian creeds. This is an inward belief of the heart and an outward confession of faith with the mouth that belong together. Having faith without confession would be useless, and confession without faith would be insincere. If you'll notice in verse 10, Paul had reversed the order of mouth and heart. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." There's no theological significance here. Rather, Paul is just showing the importance that belief and confession belong together, as do justification and salvation. You can't have one without the other, is the point that Paul is trying to make. As we see here in verse 11, Paul draws from Scripture to support what he has just stated. He is referring to Isaiah 28:16, where the Lord said, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation." This is Jesus that the Lord is speaking of. And the passage continues, "The one who relies on it," it once again being Jesus, "will never be stricken with panic." In chapter 9 of Romans, Paul quoted this more directly. But here, he uses his own wording by replacing "the one who relies" with "anyone who believes." Paul's change here implies a universal application that is consistent with a theme throughout Romans: that the gospel is for Gentiles as well as for Jews. So you can see, it is for everyone. Listen to verse 11 again. "Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame." This is to stress that Christ's salvation is available to all. Believers in Christ await a forgiving Father, not a stern, condemning judge. Verse 12 and 13 affirm this availability of salvation to all. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Lest we forget about the story of George Wilson, the mail robber, since never before in history, nor since, I might add, had anyone ever refused a presidential pardon. The Supreme Court was asked to rule on whether someone could indeed refuse a pardon. Chief Justice John Marshall handed down the court's decision, and I quote, "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is offered. And if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in the court to force it on him." George Wilson refused to accept the pardon. We can't conceive why he would do so, but he did. Therefore, George Wilson's death sentence remained. Pardon, declared the Supreme Court, must not only be granted, it must also be accepted. You and I and every other person on this planet find ourselves in a similar position to that of George Wilson. We fall short. We have broken God's laws. We have failed to keep his commandments, and nothing we can do will meet his requirements of perfection. Like President Jackson did for George Wilson, God in his mercy and grace provided a pardon for us. This is the ultimate pardon, that is Jesus Christ, who he sent to be our pardon, to take our place there on that cross. All we must do is simply accept this free gift. He loves us unconditionally, no matter our offenses. We didn't read Psalm 91 in its entirety for our call to worship this morning. But let me read to you what I find encouraging here. I encourage you to read the entire psalm. It is very encouraging. I'll start here with verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And where we started off this morning, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. I find this very reassuring. Reminds me of a song that I've heard many times on Eagle's Wings. It's very comforting, often played at funerals and such, but reminds us that God keeps us in His shelter and under His wings, and He'll always lift us up and be there beside us. You have the right to reject this pardon that God has provided for you, but will you? This would mean dying an eternal death apart from God for eternity. But if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Declaring with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Pastor John this morning handing out the prayer folders here for Muslims reminds me of all the people in this world that do know who Jesus is, but fail to call upon Him as their Lord. That's something we can be praying for during this Ramadan season, not just for Muslims, but for Americans and for all those throughout the world that do know who Jesus is and will admit to that. But do they really know He is their Lord? And as we go through this Lenten season and prepare for Holy Communion here in a moment, I invite you to reflect on this amazingly wonderful pardon that God has provided for you. Maybe you've already accepted His pardon, or maybe you haven't. It's not too late. Either way, I invite you right now to believe in your heart and to declare with me, Jesus is Lord. In closing, I will read from Paul's doxology as recorded in Romans 16. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about obedience of faith. To the God, the only wise God, be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Our closing chorus.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Strong and true, know He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love.
Receive the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, And the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.